Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 16 for me. Psalm number 16. See, I've been up here the past couple weeks with tennis shoes on, and I got a stool behind me. Had some lower back issues. I've just been carrying around all this muscle for so many years. It's finally caught up with me. And so if I sit down for a few minutes during the preaching, of course, I hadn't done that in a couple weeks, but I do thank you for your patience. Psalm 16. We're in a series entitled Soul Repair. Because I believe that every emotion that you can feel in your life, there's a psalm for that. For every situation that you go through, for every season of life, for every emotion that you feel, there's a psalm for that emotion, for that situation, for that season. If anybody went through all the different emotions that we can feel in a life, it was David. As of most of the Psalms were written by David. The title of the message this morning is I'm Shaken. I'm Shaken. So with that, let's look at Psalm 16, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 8. The Bible says, I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Have you ever had an event in your life that just kind of shook you to your core? I mean, it just, you come away shaken. I mean, somebody lied about you, somebody criticized you, somebody betrayed you, somebody gossiped about you, and that's happened before, but this time it was different. This time it got to you. It's something that you just can't shake. It shook you to your core. It could even be a health diagnosis. But whatever it is, you are shaken. And it shook you to your core. In fact, you could say you're all shook up. 2009, thank you for laughing, Emily. 2019, a study was done that said 8% of Americans had anxiety so bad that it could be considered a mental disorder. They repeated the same study in 2020, you know, COVID. And it said that number jumped up to 36%. I mean, with the pandemic and political division, racial tension, biased news, no wonder the number went up and things got worse. But we are not alone. Me and you are not alone. There's a plenty amount of people in the Bible who were shaken as me and you are shaken sometimes. There are people in the Bible who were shaken to their core. First, I think in 2 Kings chapter 6 of Elisha and his servant as they're surrounded by a great army and they're surrounded by chariots and they're surrounded by horses, and Elisha's servant begins freaking out and he gets hysterical and he's screaming, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? But the man of God was cool about it. Elisha prayed and asked God to open up the eyes of that servant. And the servant looked out and saw that the enemy itself was surrounded by another army. That the mountains were full of chariots of fire and angels around God's man. Nehemiah was reminded of the devastation of his homeland. How Israel laid in ruins and its gates burned with fire. And it made him so sad that his countenance dropped and you could see it on his face. Now for anybody else, this wouldn't have been a problem, but Nehemiah was a cupbearer in the house of the king. He was a cupbearer in the palace. And no one showed emotion in front of the king, because if you did that, the king could kill you. When the king called Nehemiah out on it, man, he was overcome with fear for his life because he had just made a mistake that could cost him his life. The prophet Jeremiah wrote these words. He said, cursed be the day on which I was born. May the day my mother gave me birth never be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought the news to my father saying, a child, a son has been born to you. So there are plenty of people in the Bible who know what it's like to be shaken. There's no shortage of people in the Bible who have been shaken to their core by fear and anxiety and worry. In fact, just since we're talking about COVID, just after COVID came out, there was a phrase that everybody liked to say. And the phrase was, "Welcome to the new normal." Oh, I hated that phrase. I hated it with a purple passion. I didn't want no new normal. I wanted normal. I wanted to feel normal again. I wanted things to go back to the way they were. People want to feel at peace again. I have set the Lord continually before me because He is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. We are shaken today because of joblessness. We are shaken today because of discouragements and disappointments and death and daily stress and health issues and relational conflict and world events. There's plenty of reasons today why me and you can be shaken. But David said with confidence, "I will not be shaken." Why? Why could David say that? What gave him the right? What gave him the ability to say, "I will not be shaken"? Because he said first, "I have set the Lord continually before me." He said, "My eyes are always on the Lord. They're not on the Lord occasionally. They're not on the Lord just when I hit rock bottom. They are on the Lord continually." Back when I was running my oil change shop, at the end of the day, we had these fleet accounts, and these are companies that we would charge their oil change and bill them at the end of the month. And we would get these fleet receipts, and I had a little paper tray that my people would put the things in, and then at the end of the day, I would fax them. I know, right, Stone Age. I would fax them to my president of the company. Well, we got rid of the fax machine, and he said, "Now I want you to email them." But my workers kept putting the fleets behind me in the paper tray, and I wouldn't see them, out of sight, out of mind. And every day, hush, just be quiet. And every day, that tray, he would call me and say, "How come you didn't send me my fleets?" And he was getting irritated with me. So what I did is I took that tray, and I threw it away, and I said, "You put those fleets right in front of me. You put them under my computer, because if I see them, I'll think about them." And for the rest of the time, they put them right in front of me. Guess what? I never forgot them anymore. Why? I didn't forget them because they were right in front of me. David said, I placed the Lord right in front of his face. That's where he set the Lord. We forget about God because we haven't figured out a way to continually keep Him before us. That's why we forget about Him. And that's why we're shaken, because He's not before us. Let me tell you a story about me in middle school. I was in middle school. I was walking down the hallway one day outside and through the breezeway, and this kid jumped on my back. And I thought it was my best friend, Sean. So I threw him off. Turned around, it wasn't Sean. It was the baddest kid in school. His name was Eric. I forget his last name. But Eric was the baddest kid in school. I mean, he was a black belt. Nobody messed with Eric. And that kind of made him mad that I threw him off of me. I didn't know who he was at the time. And he started coming after me, and I ran off. And for the next week and a half, he terrorized me, thinking he's going to beat me up and stuff. And so I'm in class, and there's this another kid there. His name was Josh. And Josh had been held back a couple of grades, but he was in my, and he was kind of a troublemaker too. He had gotten in trouble with the law and some things. And you didn't mess with Josh either. But here's the thing, Josh liked me because my daddy cut his hair. And so he found out that Eric was bothering me, and so Josh came to me one day, and I'm just kind of freaking out, and I'm all tied up. I don't want to go outside because I think Eric's going to come after me. And Josh came to me and said, "Brett, I'm going to take care of this." Josh went outside, picked a fight with Eric. I mean, knocked down, drag out, fist thrown, bloody nose, and they were sent home. But what never happened after that day is Eric never messed with me again. But I was so shaken by that. We can get shaken by drama. I mean, almost in panic attack mode. Wouldn't it be great if we could live our lives with the awareness that God is at our right hand? Look, Fear and stress and anxiety, it's normal. It comes with the territory. It's part of being human. But we don't have to be shaken by it. You can feel anxious without being in constant anxiety all the time. So what I want to do this morning is I want to take this psalm and I want to show you how to live an unshakable life. Point one, run to the right refuge. Run to the right refuge. Let's look at verse 1. Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you. Now, in Hebrew, that word refuge, it carries with it this idea of a bodyguard. Think of a bodyguard or secret service of a president or a king or a governor. We are looking at God and saying, God, you keep me. God, you keep me safe. We hear that word all the time. Safe. Safe. I want to be safe. Do you know that today, 5 years later, there are still people wearing face masks because they want to be safe? I saw a video the other day of a guy swimming in a swimming pool wearing a face mask. Lord, help us. Help us. Do you know what isn't safe? Life. Life isn't safe. Remember, I was telling you about my friend Josh earlier. He graduated school, high school, and he got a job. He became a mechanic, and he started working for my Uncle Pat. There was a blue Toyota truck behind my Uncle Pat's shop that was mine because I had a buddy in Chicago that cracked the block in my truck, because when you live in Chicago in the winter, you don't put water in the radiator. You put antifreeze, and he cracked my block. So I pulled that truck back home and parked it at my uncle's shop. And Josh got a job with my uncle and said, hey, this is Brett's old truck. If I fix it, can I have it? And he said, sure. So Josh got out there on his free time on the weekends, and he fixed that truck and he got it running again. That year that he got it running, he was going to his daughter's house for Thanksgiving, and somebody who was running from the police was coming the other way, and they had a head-on collision in my truck, and Josh died. He had no idea that day he wouldn't go home. Look, I don't mean to scare you. Life isn't safe. Death is still undefeated. Now, Jesus ultimately defeated death, but physical death is still undefeated. Look, I'm not saying be foolish. But I don't think our kids need to grow up thinking it's their main mission in life just to be safe. Listen, I drank from a water hose when I was a kid. It didn't hurt me. It didn't hurt you. It's not going to hurt them. Listen, ladies today, they sit outside just to watch their kids, on their 12-year-old kids ride a bike around the driveway, making sure they're safe. Listen, when I was a teenager, when I was 12 years old, my pawpaw would put me and my cousin, we would take his Chevy truck down the highway, down to Jack's Country Store, and buy him some stage planks and a pack of camels, okay? Now, my mom ever found out about that, she would have, you know, killed my pawpaw, but she never found out. He was just of a different time. My pawpaw was born in 1917. He was just of a different era. And we were okay. My dad had this big car, big tank-looking car, and they used to, on the back seat, there was a ledge up to the back glass. So as a kid, I would ride around in my dad's car. I would crawl up on that back ledge and lay on that ledge and just stare out the back glass the whole time, passing cops, waving at them. I mean, that's just the way things were, and we were okay. Listen, be safe without thinking it's your sole mission in life to be safe. Because some people are willing to give up anything for safety. Once again, we saw this during COVID. There were people who were ready to give up their freedom just in the name of being safe. Just to give up their peace of mind just in the name of being safe. David wasn't living an unshakable life because he took precautions. He was living an unshakable life because he prayed to God. He trusted in God. He said, God, you keep me safe. You are my rest. You are my refuge. You are my protector. I trust in God to keep me safe. What if something like COVID happens again? What if we have another pandemic? How far will we go? Look, I'm not saying don't take precautions. I'm just saying have faith in God. I'm not saying don't take precautions, okay? I'm just saying don't let it run your life. Don't let it consume you. But on the other side of that is don't be foolish. You know, if we have something like that happen again, I'm not giving you permission to go to Dollywood and lick the handrails, okay? That's not what I'm saying. We have to say, God, you keep me safe because you are my refuge. You are my bodyguard. Yes, wear your seatbelt, but at the end of the day, God is the one who keeps you safe. The book of Psalms uses the word refuge a lot. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Look in that verse and notice the personal pronoun, our. He's our strength. He's our refuge. He's not just your parents' strength. He's not just your parents' strength. He's our strength. He's your strength. Do you know God like that? Like he is personally the one who's responsible for you. He is the one who keeps you safe. When is God ready to help? At a moment's notice. He's ready to help when the trouble hits because he knows the trouble's coming. No matter the size either. It could be big trouble or little trouble. He is there to help me and you. If you had to keep yourself safe, guess what? You'd worry yourself to death. Why? Because nothing is in your control. Every circumstance in your life is outside of your control. But everything is in God's control. Psalm 62, verse 8, trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Is there anyone in here today you need to pour your heart out to God? Maybe you've already poured your heart out to a girlfriend or a boyfriend or best friend or therapist. But God's still waiting on you to pour your heart out to him. We like to talk to everybody else except God. And when trouble happens in your life, did you know whoever you run to first is your refuge? Did you know that? Whoever you run to first is your refuge. When you get hurt, the first place you go, that who or that what is your refuge. Psalm 16:4. The sorrows of those who have bartered for another god will be multiplied. I shall not pour out their drink offerings of blood, nor will I take their name upon my lips. There are two things we get from this verse. One, there's only one God. And two, other gods will ruin you. Something happens when you run to other gods. And I'm not just talking about religions. I'm talking about anything can be a god in your life. Maybe fornication is your god. So when you're in trouble, that's where you run to. Maybe pornography is your God. So when you get in trouble, that's where you run to. Maybe money is your God. You think, man, if I just work a few extra hours, I'm in this situation. If I just work a little harder, I get a little bit more money, then my problems will go away. Listen, if money solved problems, rich people wouldn't kill themselves. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Maybe a boyfriend in your life, maybe a girlfriend in your life you run to, but whatever it is, when you run to other gods, you will suffer. Don't run to the bottle. Don't run to pills. Run to the right refuge. Number two, check your intake. Check your intake. Verse 5, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. David is saying, the Lord is my cup. I want to ask you today, what's in your cup? Like that commercial, what's in your wallet? What fills you? What are you allowing inside? Years ago, people got their news by word of mouth. Or they read the newspaper. That meant you had to wait until the next day to get your news. But not anymore. Now it's at the tip of your finger. Now you have it at the tip of your finger all the time. We were never meant to carry the weight of the world around in our back pocket. We were never meant to do that. No wonder so many people today have anxiety. God can't fill you up with peace if you fill yourself up with fear. Input determines output. What you take in will come out. What you take in private will come out in public. When I was a kid, there weren't many options for news. You got 30 minutes for news. 10 to 10:30. That's all the news you got when I was a kid. WLBT, Howard Ballou, Woody Asaph, the weatherman said, and Burt Case. That was the only options I had, okay? I'm so glad we lived in the same little news area. The way I cracked that joke in Louisiana and I got nothing, okay? But listen, now you don't ever have to turn the TV off, okay? You can let it run 24 hours a day, TV, radio, podcast, no matter. Look, every once in a while, turn the phone off. Turn it off. Turn the TV off. Sit at the tables of family. Eat dinner with the family. Play Monopoly. Play Candyland. Do something. And when you watch TV, don't watch the news. Watch good TV shows. Watch the Andy Griffith Show. And just watch the black and white ones, because the color ones don't have Barney. And the show's not funny without Barney. Some may say, but Brad, aren't you just putting your head in the sand? I don't think so. I don't think when Jesus went in the wilderness for 40 days, I don't think he got a daily copy of the Israeli journey, Israeli journal. And I don't think he was putting his head in the sand. I think Jesus said, listen, for 40 days, I'm going to cut myself off for everything. I'm just going to be with God. If Jesus did it, I think it's okay for us to do that. I'm just saying. Limit your intake. And number three, I'm not going to be very long this morning. This isn't a very long thought. Number three, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Verse 8 and 9 again. I have set the Lord continually before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. Anxiety is a meteor shower of what ifs. Okay, what if I'm going down the road and my tire blows out, I'm 5 minutes late to the meeting, and I lose the client, and I lose my job, and my kids get in a bad school, and they grow up, and they can't get a good job, and so now my grandkids are living on the street just because I blew a tire. Anxiety is a meteor shower of what ifs. And listen, there's a difference between anxiety and fear. Listen, fear sees a threat. Anxiety imagines one. Anxiety will take your breath away. Psalm 37, 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. Anxiety will twist your body up in an emotional pretzel. Breathing gets hard. Blood pressure goes up. Sleep goes away. A study was done that said that high school kids of today have so much anxiety because of the pressure that's on them that the same amount of anxiety on an adult in the 1950s would put them in a mental institution. So what did people in the 1950s have that we don't have? Peace. Peace. Verse 8 again, I have set the Lord continually before me because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. I watched this video of something at a camp called The Blob. And what it is, there was his father and son on this platform. The son jumped off the platform onto the inflatable pillow and crawled to one end on it, to one end, and laid there. And the dad, who was a pretty husky guy, he jumped off and hit the other side. And that kid on the other side and started doing flip, 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 blop, right in the water. I thought, man, I want to get on The Blob one day. Now here's the thing on The Blob. The bigger your father is, the higher you fly. Well, let me ask, how big is your heavenly father? Ephesians 4, 6. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. That sounds like a pretty big God to me. Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Man, all we want to do is we look at our own circumstances, is look down at our feet and see where we were going when we need to look up. Look up. How often do we pray to God, God, help me? Where does my help come from? It comes from God. It comes from the creator of the universe. That is where my help comes from. Verse 8 and 9, I have set the Lord continually before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. I want to read verse 9 in the NIV. It says, therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. When you speak gratitude, something happens to your brain. Okay? The opposite of anxiety shuts that part of your brain down. How often does your tongue rejoice? How often does your tongue rejoice? I mean, over mundane things. Like you're in a hurry to go somewhere and you catch like 4 green lights in a row. Have you ever just said, Lord, thank you? Praise the Lord. Because we need to praise God for everything, not just the big things, but praise Him for the small things. Praise God for things you wouldn't normally praise God for. Are the kids getting on your nerves? Well, you need to thank God you got kids to get on your nerves. And if you change your perspective like that, I think things will begin to change for you. Here's another thing. Don't wish time away. Don't wish time away. Oh, I wish the kids were grown so we could travel. Oh, I wish I was retired from my job. I hate my job. Oh, I wish we weren't in this little house or this little apartment. And then one day you look back, hopefully not too late, to realize that your family's time in that little apartment was some of the sweetest, most precious times your family ever had. You see, when your heart is glad, your tongue rejoices. And when your tongue rejoices, your heart is glad. Start telling God things you're thankful for. Thanksgiving time, as kids, we used to put our hand on the paper, trace out the hand, and then cut out the paper and make little turkeys. And then in the middle of the turkey, we'd write some things we're thankful for. That's not just a little cute activity for the kids. It actually works. Writing down things you're thankful for will actually change you. It will bring you out of the valley of depression. It will bring you out of your anxiety. But here's the thing. We're reading today Psalm 16. And we can't go through Psalm 16 and miss the point of what Psalm 16 is really about. Let's look at verse 9 again. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Years later, after this is written, Peter is going to preach a message. It will be the first Christian message preached post-Jesus, post his ascension. It'll be the very first one. And in that very first sermon of the church, Peter preaches and quotes Psalm 16. And he says Psalm 16 is about Jesus. Now me and you read most of the psalm this morning, and nowhere in there did I see the name of Jesus. But right there in verse 10 where it says the Holy One, Peter said, that's about Jesus. And if you put your faith in Jesus, you will live forever. And having that faith and having that comfort, that is the blessed hope of a Christian. Listen, it is so hard to live an unshakable life without Jesus. It's impossible for someone who's lost to live an unshakable life because they don't have the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in them. You have Jesus. Your problem is you just forget it. You forget His promises. We forget we've got Jesus in us. And that's why we get shaken. When you know He's in you, you will not be shaken. Are you shaken today? If something shook you, you don't have to be shaken. you can live an unshakable life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I know it wasn't very long this morning. I just had a truth that I wanted to share with you. Sometimes we get all shook up. We live a shaken life. Shaken to the core. Rattled is another word for it. We walk around rattled all the time. We don't have to do that. What's the cure? Keeping the Lord continually before us. That's why we read our Bibles. That's why we pray. That's why we listen to gospel music. That's why we come to church. That's why we study the Word. That's why we meditate on Him, because we're just trying to keep the Lord continually before us. Maybe today you should come to an altar and cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. You don't have to live a shaken life. If there's anyone in here that you're shaken because you've never been saved, you've never asked Jesus to save you, today is the day when you can know without a shadow of a doubt that you've got Jesus in your life, in your heart, and your eternal destination is heaven. You can come to this altar and we'll show you how you can know that you're a Christian. If you are to live in a shaken life, or maybe you're not shaken, but you don't want to be, maybe you need to pray and say, God, I have faith that you are my help. I hope that it's everyone's prayer today. Let's pray, and then our invitation will begin. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Lord, thank you that you have given us so many promises and so many blessings in your word to where we can live an unshakable life. Fear and anxiety, they don't have to have hold over a Christian. Of course, we have promises in your word that there'll be a resurrection. We have promises in your word that you're going to wipe away every tear. We have promises in your word that you will always leave us. You will never forsake us. That if we continually put you before us, you will be at our right hand. We have all of these promises, Lord. And with everything that David went through, if he can live an unshakable life, then so can we. Help us today to cry out to you, not put our faith in our precautions or things like that, Lord, but put our faith totally in you to keep us safe. Thank you, Lord, for all the promises you've given us. Be with our invitation today. In Jesus Christ's precious name, I pray.